Thank you, Stuart. We were having a few technical difficulties back in the back before services began. I've actually got a couple of announcements just very quickly. Deanie Britton and Martha Pyron are both sick this evening, not feeling well. That's why they're not here. And also was asked to publicly thank Joe and Faye Baker. They just redid the flowers up here at the front, all the ones that are involved with that. Always do such a fantastic job keeping it looking nice up here, and we're thankful for those who participate in that and do that. And also, we don't want to forget our singing class that starts this evening following services. It's going to start about 10 minutes after services end. It's going to last about 30 minutes. We're going to try to learn some new songs, improve our singing, and we want everyone to come to that. That's going to be back here in Charlie's classroom after services this evening. We are certainly glad that you're here. We're thankful for everyone's presence. We have visitors amongst us, and we're thankful that you're here. Angela's mother is here, and we're thankful that she can be with us tonight. We're glad that everyone's here, and we hope and pray that it is beneficial to each of us to be together, to study from God's Word together. A few weeks ago, or a couple of months ago now, Al preached a sermon titled The Other Sword, based on events that happened the night that Christ was betrayed. Tonight's sermon is from the same evening, different events that happened the night that Christ was betrayed. And I hope that as we study together tonight, we can find some benefit from our study. Matthew chapter 26 is where we will begin. It was a Thursday evening. Christ has gathered with His disciples, the 12, the closest people to Him, His closest companions. They are preparing for the Passover feast. They go to an upper room and they sit together to eat, to enjoy what we refer to as the Last Supper. Jesus is sitting there with those men. I am there. My name is Judas. I sit at the table with Christ, the Son of God. Less than 24 hours from this moment, He will hang on a cross because I betray Him. We sit together, and He tells us that one will betray. He will hang on that cross because of what I do. But the cross is where it ends. That isn't all that He will endure because of my decision. I will deliver Him. I will lead soldiers to Him. They will send an army to arrest a man who has never done a thing. They will take him. They will try him and convict him. They will place a purple robe on him. They will mock his royalty. They will place a crown of thorns on his head. They'll take a stick, and they'll beat him across the brow to drive those thorns in. They'll spit upon him. They'll beat him with their hands and fists. They'll scourge him to the point of death. And then they'll send him to be nailed to the cross. All because of what I'm going to do. See, it's all going to start with a kiss. I'm greedy at heart. I'm going to go to those men that want him. I'm going to ask, what will you pay me? What will I get if I turn him over to you? And then I'm going to tell them the signal. The one that I kiss, that's him. He's the one that you're after. And I'll be happy with it. And so will they. They'll be happy to pay that money to get what they want. To get who they want. And I'll sit at the table. I'll sit at the table with him and think about those things. Think about that opportunity that I've given myself to earn that extra money, to betray the Son of God. As we sit there at the table, Jesus tells us, one will betray me, one of you. And all of my companions, all of the men that I've spent these years with, they get nervous. They become sorrowful. And they begin to wonder, is it me? Am I the one that will betray him? And they ask, and I let them. And I sit by. And then it comes to me. And even though I know the answer, I still ask, Master, is it I? Am I the one? And Jesus says, you have said it. Tonight, as we study together, I would like to ask you if you've ever taken on the role of Judas. Have you ever asked yourself, or have you ever asked God, is it I? Am I the one? Judas didn't just turn his back on God. He led men to him. Is it I? Am I the one who turns my back on God? 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. James 4, verse 17 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Is it I? Am I turning my back on God? When I know the difference between right and wrong, and I choose wrong. When I know that there's a difference between what God wants me to do and what the world wants me to do, and I choose the world, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Skipping down there to verse 17, it says, "And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Is it? When I choose the world over God, am I the same as Judas? Have I done the same thing that he did? Is my sin any less than his? Is it I? Is it I when I don't come to church? When I forsake the assembly together? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, verses that are very familiar to us. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." You know, we look at these verses and we read them often. And we just say, you know, you should be at church. And sometimes that's where we leave it. You should be here. I may be preaching to the wrong crowd. Because it's important for you to be here. It's important for me to be here. Not just because of the things that I can gain by being here, because of the other things, that the other people that I can influence, the other good that can come from that by my being here. He says, "Let us consider one another." Is it I? Do I turn my back on God just like Judas did when I don't attend? When I find something better to do than be here? We think about all of the things that we do here. All of the things that we're commanded to do. We're commanded to sing. We sing here to encourage one another, to praise God. Is it I? When I sit in the pew and don't even open my mouth? I don't praise God. I don't encourage anyone that's around me. Is it I? Am I just like Judas was? We're commanded to pray, not just here in the building, not just in this group, but all the time. We're commanded to pray. Do we forsake that? Do we take the opportunities that we're given to not only ask God for things that we need, but to give Him the thanks that He deserves for the things that we have? And so often I think we remember when there's trouble, when I have a problem, I don't forget to pray then. I don't forget to ask God for help when I've got a family member that's sick, when I've got a difficult situation in my life. I don't forget then. What about when that family member gets better? What about when they get out of the hospital? When they overcome that illness? When that difficult situation works itself out? Do I remember then? Is it I? Have I turned my back when God deserves that thanks? we come together and we partake of the Lord's Supper. We gather around this table to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us. Do we take that seriously? Do we focus on that moment? On that sacrifice that He made? Or do we go through the motions? Do we just do it because we're here? Because it's that part of the service? Because it's that time? Is it I? Do we give back to God based on what He's given us? We're all blessed so richly. Do we give back? Do we give cheerfully like He wants us to give? Do we give it all? Is it I? Do we turn our back on God when it comes to that part of the service? We're commanded to teach and preach and spread God's Word. There's so many teachers that we have here. It's a great responsibility to stand before a group of people, especially when they're very young, impressionable. Do we take that responsibility to heart? Do we understand the magnitude of the situation? Or do we just go through the motions? Do we take the opportunity to teach our children and our grandchildren when we're not at church? Or do we just think someone else will do it? Someone else will take that responsibility. I don't have to worry about that. Is it I? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 is where we usually focus. But verse 26 really kind of brings it together. It says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." If we sin willfully. If we know the difference between right and wrong, and we choose wrong anyway. Judas said, "Is it I?" He knew the answer. And I feel like most of the time, we know the answer as well. You know, I really don't need to do this, but I really want to. This is what I really want to do, so I'm going to do it anyway. We'll worry about the consequences later. Is it I? When I look to God's Word, do I abide by it? Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, he says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Is it I? When I read God's Word and I understand it. And I think, you know, that's really not exactly how I would like it to be. I'm going to add one little thing here. Take away one little thing there. You know, make it fit my life a little better. And if this church doesn't go exactly like I want it to, I'll just go find someone else, somewhere else. I can find someone who will agree with me. Is it I? John there says, you will be taken from the book of life. Paul, as he writes to the Thessalonians in the second letter there, chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, he says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Is it I? When I turn my back on God, do I think that that's just the end of it? Do I think that's where it ends? It stops there, and nothing else will ever happen. I'll never face any type of problems because of that decision. Is it I? Judas regretted the decision that he made. Matthew chapter 27, verses 3 through 5, Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. What a terrible end to Judas' life. The decisions that he made right at the end is all that we remember him for. As a matter of fact, Mark says that it would have been better if he had never lived at all. Mark chapter 14, verse 21 says, the Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Judas turned his back on God. And we remember him for it. We compare ourselves to him, or we should. Every time we make a decision that we know isn't according to God's will, we do the same thing that Judas did. Is it I? 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. It says, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. Peter says, you would be better to have never known than to have known and turned your back. I can't imagine the mental anguish that will be felt by those who know and have to spend an eternity in destruction, knowing that they could have done something different. Is it I? Do I turn my back on God? Do you? Are you here this evening and you're not a Christian? You've never entered the waters of baptism, but you know the difference between right and wrong. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You want to be baptized so that you can have forgiveness of your sins. We would invite you. If you're here and you are a Christian, you have public sin in your life that you need to make correction of. If there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together we